عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Continuing with our discussion of Surah Nuh, chapter 71. Tonight, inshallah, we will proceed with verses 15 to 20. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses tells us of how Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, in attempting to teach his community and to preach to his community, to encourage them to turning towards Allah, in these verses, Prophet Nuh gives or points to Allah through five major signs. He encourages his community to turn to God by portraying to them five signs. In verse number 15, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam says, أَلَمْ تَرَوْا كَيْفَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا. Do you not see, or have you not considered how God created the seven heavens one upon another? So the first sign that he points to is the heavens, is the sky. And he says, have you not seen how God created the seven heavens one upon another? So the first sign is the seven heavens. Now, this verse tells us that the seven heavens were created in layers, one on top of the other. And the exegetes, the mufassirun of the Qur'an, have given various sort of explanations as to what this means. What is the Qur'anic reference to the seven heavens? And what does the Qur'an mean when it speaks of the seven heavens being one on top of the other? And so one explanation that attempts to sort of be in line with more modern scientific understanding is that this is a reference to the various atmospheres above the earth. We know that surrounding the earth there are various levels or atmospheres, and so this may be a reference to these various layers of atmospheres. Other exegetes have said that this is in fact an allegorical reference to the precision of the creation of the universe. That the universe outside of this earth, the universe is created with fine tuning and detail and precision. And this is an element that we see today when we study, you know, physics, or when we study astronomy, or when we study science, and we study the, you know, the universe and the planets, the solar system, and the sky and whatnot. We find that much of the scientific details, they tell us that the universe is very finely tuned. It's very precise in its organization, in its order. And scholars within religion have used this argument, the cosmological argument of intelligent design, as one of the arguments that points towards the existence of God. They've said that if we look at the universe, we will find that it is designed in order. There is order, there is systematic order, there is detail, precision, there it is very finely tuned in its precision. And this leads us to the understanding that there has to be an intelligent designer. That this is not just a result of, you know, chance, but that there is specifically an intelligent designer who has designed and fashioned the universe. This is an argument that not only Muslim scholars have employed, but also other scholars. In fact, in his book, there is a Canadian astrophysicist. He's a Christian scholar, scientist. His name is Dr. Hugh Ross. He's written many books. One of his books is called The Creator and the Cosmos. And in this book, he makes this argument. He says one of the arguments that points towards the existence of God is this idea of the fine-tuning of the universe. He says if you go and you study some of the physical constants in the universe, they will show you that these physical constants are very precise. They are very finely tuned. And so he gives several examples. One example, and I may have given this example before, you may recall this example. He gives this example of the ratio of electrons to protons in the galaxy, in the universe. And he says the ratio of electrons to protons is 1 in 10 to the 37th power. This is one physical constant, 1 in 10 to the 37th power. And he says if this were to change a little bit, just a little bit, more or less, this one constant, this physical constant, then we would not have life as we know it. The universe as we know it would not exist. And so he tells us, in order to make us appreciate what it means, what does it mean for us to have this physical constant of electrons to protons being 1 in 10 to the 37th power? What does this mean? He gives a very beautiful example. He says, if you were to take North America, the continent, North America, which is about 9.5 million square miles, and you were to fill this entire continent with dimes, one next to each other, across the entire continent, and you were to stack these dimes one on top of the other, all the way up to the moon, which is about 240,000 miles away. So you take the entire continent of North America, and you fill it up with dimes, one next to each other, and you stack up these dimes all the way up to the moon. And then you were to do this again 1 billion times. 1 billion times you were to do this again. And then you would take one of these dimes, and you would color this dime in red, and you would throw it into this endless sea of dimes. And then you take your friend, and you blindfold your friend, and you turn him or her around a few times, right? So we make sure that it's absolutely random. And you were to push them in this endless sea of dimes. The chances that your friend will pick out the red dime is 1 in 10 to the 37th power. So he says, this is one physical constant, the ratio of electrons to protons. And if this were to change by a little bit, just a little bit, more or less, life and existence as we know it would not appear. Here, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he points to this argument. He says, just think about the creation around us, the existence around us. Just think about it. And this will lead you to realize that there is a superior power who has designed and created everything. And this argument is used in various ways. So here, Nuh alayhi salam, he says, look at the seven heavens and how God has created these seven heavens. And then in verse number 16, he points to other aspects of the solar system. Nuh alayhi salam says, وَجَعَلَ الْقَمَرَ فِيهِنَّ نُورًا وَجَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ سِرَاجًا. And God has created within this universe, God has made the moon a light and made the sun a lamp. Have you not seen how God has made the moon a light? Nuh is telling his community. And the sun a lamp. We find that the moon, which orbits the earth, is a source of light. Of course, it reflects. As a reflection of the light of the sun, the moon itself begins to expose light. And thus we find that on a night where you have a full moon, you'll notice that anywhere you are, you'll find yourself, it's as if, you know, the street that you are in or wherever you are is fully lighted. Even if the street lights are off, they're turned off, you'll notice that there is this light this great light from the moon that shines before us and we can see our path. So Nuh alayhi salam says, have you not seen, considered how the moon is a light and the sun itself? He says, Nura, for the moon, he uses the term Nur, and for the sun, he says Siraj. A Siraj is a lamp, a torch, showing or pointing to the difference between the moon and the sun. The moon reflects, it does not have inherent light, whereas the sun has its own inherent light, and it continues through its, you know, it's fueled by hydrogen. It continues to shine itself. And scientists have said, according to scientists, that for the past 5 billion years, the sun has been shining for 5 billion years and will continue to shine for another 5 billion years. This sort of inherent source of light that we are so dependent on for our existence and for our survival. And then in verse number 17, Nuh alayhi salam says, وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا. And your Lord and God has made you grow forth from the earth like plants. To grow forth from the earth like plants. Why does Nuh alayhi salam use this phrase? What's the point? And do we actually grow from the ground? Do our parents plant seeds in the earth and we sort of grow like plants? No, obviously, this is not the case. This is a reference to two things. The exegetes have said, number one, the reason why this phrase is used as us growing forth from the earth is first because the Quran refers to the creation of Adam alayhi salam, peace be upon him, as having been created from the dirt, from the dust. And so this is a reference to the origin of the creation of Adam, peace be upon him, of being created from the dirt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Adam was fashioned from the dirt. And so this is a reference to that origin, the father of humanity, right? We are in Arabic called Bani Adam, the children of Adam, the descendants of Adam, according to the Quran. And so this is a reference to the original creation and fashioning of Adam alayhi salam. Other exegetes have mentioned that when it comes to our composition, our creation, we find that we are very much dependent either directly or indirectly on the earth itself for our survival. I mentioned a couple of days ago, I think in my Friday prayer sermon, that we are, you are what you eat. That even the food that we consume, the food that we consume, physically, it has an effect on our bodies. Our cells, they develop based on the nutrition of that which we consume. If we consume something healthy that gives us nutrition, then our body physically grows stronger. And vice versa, if we, you know, consume something that is toxic or something that is harmful, this negatively impacts the growth of our body physically, the cells that we develop. And so directly or indirectly, we also grow. We also grow and are impacted from the dirt, from the dust. And then here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He uses a very beautiful phrase. He says, وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا. The reason why Nuh here says that we grow like plants, exegetes have suggested that here this is a phrase that refers to God's extra care and compassion upon His creation. Like a farmer. A farmer's job is to do what? Is to take care of the plants that he or she, you know, plants. It's not just his job to go and to plant, but to ensure that the plants grow healthy and strong. And so he or she may spend extra time caring for the plants to ensure their strong survival and to ensure their strong growth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a reference like this in another case, in the context of the life of Maryam alayhi salam, Lady Maryam alayhi salam, Allah also uses a similar verse. Maryam was placed in the care of several individuals, among them Zachariah, Prophet Zachariah, to be taken care of, right? And so they took care of her, they taught her, they ensured her growth and her survival and her strength. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in chapter number 3, in Surah Al-Imran, Allah tells us, وَأَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا. When referring to Maryam alayhi salam, he says, and God took care of her and allowed her to grow like a plant. وَأَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا. That God gave extra care and concern for Maryam. So here the Quran is also saying the same thing. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like a farmer takes care of his or her crops, that Allah takes care of the creation in terms of their growth. And then in verse 18, Allah says, ثُمَّ يُعِيدُكُمْ فِيهَا وَيُخْرِجُكُمْ إِخْرَاجًا. In verse 17, Nuh tells the people that God, He allowed you to grow from the earth, that your origin was from the earth. In verse 18, He says, ثُمَّ يُعِيدُكُمْ فِيهَا وَيُخْرِجُكُمْ إِخْرَاجًا. Then God will cause you to return to it, to the earth, and then bring you forth once again. And this is our cycle. We originate, and then we live in this life, and when we die, when we pass away, we are buried, we are placed once again in the earth, and then when we are resurrected, we come out once again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us forth once again from the dirt, from the dust, from the earth. ثُمَّ يُخْرِجُكُمْ, He says, ثُمَّ يُعِيدُكُمْ فِيهَا وَيُخْرِجُكُمْ إِخْرَاجًا. Then we are returned to it, and once again we are brought forth. From dust to dust, and then out again from the dust. And then finally in verses 19 and 20, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ بِسَاطًا لِتَسْلُكُوا مِنْهَا سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا. And God made the earth an open expanse for you, that you may travel spacious paths therein. Once again, the sign, the final sign that Nuh points to, is the earth that we live in. He tells them, look at how God has created the earth to ensure your survival. We find that on the earth that we live, it's just right for our survival. Everything about this earth, in terms of the climate, the temperature, the land, is all designed in a way that is just right for our survival as human beings, and not just as human beings, but other creatures as well, other plants and animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the order which is just right and perfectly for us to be able to inhabit, to live, for us in order to be able to grow our food, for us in order to be able to travel on the earth and to live on the earth. And so Nuh alayhi salam, he points to this sign. He tells them, look at the earth that you live in. It's created just right. It's perfect for you to live in. This is a sign. Prophet Nuh is reminding his community, this is a sign that points towards the Creator, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it truly is a blessing, brothers and sisters. It truly is a blessing that Allah has blessed us with this earth, which allows us, which ensures our survival, our ability to survive and to continue to grow and to procreate and to live. It's a true blessing. And like every blessing, we have a responsibility towards this earth, brothers and sisters. Often, we focus on how the earth can be a source of our taking advantage of living, of building, of extracting its sources. But in many cases, we tend to forget that on the other hand, we have a responsibility to maintain this earth as well. to take care of the earth, to take care of its resources and that which it produces. This is a responsibility upon us. Oftentimes, we find ourselves in many ways, and I say this about myself first and foremost, we find ourselves in many ways taking advantage of these blessings, but leaving a negative impact when it comes to our use of certain forms of energy. We were saying this over iftar, right? One example is the use of styrofoam. How negative this has of an impact on the earth, or other, you know, things that we use, or the ways that we live. Oftentimes we find ourselves wasting food. I've read reports, you know, usually these reports tell us that, especially here in the United States, large quantities of food gets wasted. We go to the supermarket, we go to Costco, especially during the month of Ramadan, we're hungry, right? And we just want to buy the whole store. We want to buy everything. And we pack up, and then we bring it home. Some of it we consume, but some of it, unfortunately, goes to waste. Some of it goes to waste. Some of it we have not even opened, still in its package, goes to waste. It expires, it's wasted, and we throw it away. And so in a sense, we are wasting this food. And we know, brothers and sisters, that there are people who live today, and I mentioned this a couple of nights ago, people who are struggling when it comes to just having the basics to be able to eat and to drink. They struggle every day to be able to have a small meal, something that they can survive on themselves and their family and their children. They struggle. So this is a great blessing when we are blessed, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the ability to live a comfortable life, to eat and to drink and to live a happy life. We have to make sure that we also are responsible. We express responsibility when it comes to our consumption. And that we teach ourselves, guide ourselves and our family members, our friends, our children, to be responsible when it comes to our use of certain sources or resources at home. We have to make sure that we're not wasting water. Again, a lot of people, they don't have access to clean running water. Sometimes, in some cases, we find ourselves where, you know, we'll go and we'll leave the tap on when we're brushing our teeth, or we'll turn on the water, we're waiting for the water to get warm in the shower. Sometimes we'll take a phone call while the water is running, you know, it's just running, right? Why? Or we'll leave some of the lights on in the house, in some rooms when no one's, you know, using the rooms. And this is all wasting. We are wasting energy. This all takes a toll. Not only will we get huge bills, right? Not only will we have to waste money, just spend money for nothing, but also this takes a toll on the earth and its sources. Because these are all resources that are being extracted from the earth. And so it is important for us during the month of Ramadan, as we work to develop our inner selves, our spiritual journey, as we advance spiritually, and we connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we connect with the Qur'an, and as we work to ensure the well-being of our community, our family members, and we turn to one another and we ensure that each and every one of us is okay, we have to also make sure that we ensure our responsibility towards the earth, towards those blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And so Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he points to all of these signs in encouraging his community to turn towards Allah. But unfortunately, the Qur'an tells us that after spending so much time and effort teaching his community, they still, some of them, still rejected his message. And they expressed arrogance, and they continued to insist on their rejection. And other verses of the Qur'an tell us that the reason was because some of the community members, they were jealous. And others were arrogant, they were proud. In Surah Hud, and I'll end with this. In Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another aspect of Surah Nuh, of the story of Nuh. He says, فَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلَنَا Those who rejected Prophet Nuh's message, they said to him, they said that we only see you as a regular human being just like us. What's so great about you? You're just a regular human being just like us. مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلَنَا وَمَا نَرَاكَ اتَّبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَادِلُنَا بَادِيَ الرَّأِيِ. And when we look at the people who, you know, have followed you, have listened to you, they are, you know, worthless. They're the lowly ones. They're the poor people. They're not the ones who are wealthy. They're not the ones who are educated. They're not the ones who have, you know, class or whatnot. You've managed to get followers from the lowest of the classes. So what's in it for us? Why should we spend our time and energy and come and follow you when, first of all, you're not so special, you're a regular human being just like us. And secondly, your followers aren't the greatest, they come from the lowest of the classes. وَمَا نَرَى لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْلٍ بَلْ نَظُنُّكُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. You have no favor upon us, they would tell Nuh. You have no favor upon us. And in fact, we consider you to be deceivers, to be liars. Very clearly, sense of arrogance, sense of misunderstanding, ignorance that they expressed. And thus, brothers and sisters, humility, as I mentioned, it is humility when we are humble and when we allow our hearts and minds to be open and to accept the truth, that the truth will have an impact on us. But if we are arrogant and we are closed-minded, and from the beginning we close all doors, then of course guidance, divine guidance, will not impact us. And thus, we take the month of Ramadan also as an opportunity for us to work on our humility, to work on attaining this state of mind and heart that is humility. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to do so. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our prayers and fasting and supplication during these holy days and nights. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring relief and comfort to those who are suffering, to those who are sick, to those who are ill. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow His peace upon the souls of those who have passed away. وَإِلَىٰ أَرْوَاحِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ نُهْدِي جَمِيعًا ثَوَابَ سُورَةِ الْفَاتِحَ مَعَ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ.